The demonstration broadcast which now follows is in stereo.
No big deal.
Those of you who haven't got big, posh, hi-fi stereo sets can listen on your grotty little trannies. But you'll only receive one channel, so there.
First, here is a late football result.
Chelsea, 2.
And now, here are those masters of stereophonic mirth, riddles and...
Thank you. Tell me, what would you get if you crossed Oliver Reed with a terrapin?
Well, I never thought I'd hear that on radio.
And now very quickly, very, very quickly, over to Epsom, where the horse is just coming in for the last furlong of this year's derby.
And this is fantastic. We've got three horses absolutely neck and neck. There's Wounded Knight from Saucy Ferret coming in as Bandicoot, and he's coming through. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. And Ferret's taking up, and now it's Bandicoot. What a race. And there's only 10 yards to go, and as they come under the finishing line, over to you, Barry. Thank you, Barry. Well, that was really incredible.
And now...
Yes, once again, Prune Tune. Stars of stereo. Right. Brooke Tay. And Clee. Grr. Dun. Eat Hatch. Joe. All. And. Odd. And here's the most. Voice on radio telling you. It's. Re. Once. All.
And now Radio Prune continues with the mass bands of the Queen's Own Highland Impressionists with a display of Formation Fife Robertsons.
Hello! We're speaking to you from...
No, stop!
Oh, my God!
Very close. I am, in fact... the director of Radio Prune. Now, enough of this wacky, zany, clevedic satire nonsense. I want you lot to provide a serious alternative to Radio 1.
Go and watch Crystal Palace.
I said serious. I want Radio Prune to produce a pop service with all the qualities of Radio 1. I want zing. I want pizzazz. I want splot. I want blup. I want blang. I want blap, blap, blap. And I want a slap round the face. Thank you. Right, off you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to... Wonderful Radio Mindless.
It's wonderful, marvelous, wacky, terrific.
Empty.
Inane.
Nothing.
Get away with just noise?
Why not, Radio Wonders?
Oh, no, it doesn't. They have disc jockeys.
Yeah?
Then so must me. Then so must we.
Hello. Oh, I walked through the door. That's why I'm talking like this. Pardon?
Oh, we'll do it again. When most us be, no, then so must we.
Hello, I'd like to be a disc jockey.
Are you witty?
Yes.
Articulate?
Yes.
Interested in music?
Yes.
Get out! Oh. Now listen! I'm going to play you a black market tape.
Buy me mangoes, lovely mangoes.
Stuart Missionary, 50 beer tin.
Savalies, travelies.
Hi there, girls and girls, and how about that then? And here I am, and as it happens, I am here. Clunk, click, and how about that then? And as it happens, I am in the Vatican, which is the palace of the Pope. And how about that then? And as it happens, this place has walls. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh! Anyway, shut up. Fuck, be quiet. And that is a window, is it not? And this is record. And I'm doing it all for charity, and this is my Rolls Royce. Clunk, click, and how about that? And so much for Italy.
Right, got that now. We could do with a new Jimmy Savile.
So could they.
Well, there's only one thing for it. We shall have to lure all the BBC disc jockeys.
Well, hello there, ladies. Are you ready to fight the flab?
Yes!
Right then, let's fight it. Well, now, it's time for your exercises. And I'm speaking to all you lovely, young, lonely housewives sitting at home by yourselves while your husbands are away at work. Oh, yes. Right. Now, I want you all to relax and loosen your clothes. That's it. Take them all off. That's the way. Let that soft, shimmering silk slip down those milky white thighs. Right now, lie yourself down on something nice and cozy, just a couch or perhaps a huge 18th century waterbed covered in chinchilla fur. Now, just flex your neck muscles and turn to the right so you're looking out the bedroom window. That's it, the one by the pink dressing table. Now, can you see the dressing table? Right, and can you see the window? Good. And now, can you see the little fella peeping in through the window? Well, that's me. Hello!
And now, here is this week's Radio Mindless competition. We're going to play some sounds, and we want you to identify them. It's a tough one, so just to make it a little bit easier, we're going to tell you the answers now. And the first sound is... And that was Richard Nixon flapping his jowls. And second... That was David Nixon smoothing his hair.
Table program in which four disc jockeys get together to talk about and all the way through the latest record releases.
Hi there, everybody. It's going to be singing this wing. We're going to fly. We're going to hurry high. We're going to reach the sky. Tonight's the night. We're all right. We're all tight. Yeah. You better believe it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, how is that? Throw a bucket of water on him.
Don't know what I'm doing. Here's the first record. That's enough of that. We're wasting good gabbling time. Now, what do you think of that one, Stuart?
Well, I want to tell you, my friends, this morning I had a boiled egg for my breakfast. And I want you to relax and imagine I'm taking the spoon and I thrust it into the egg and I stir it round and around. Can you see it? Lie back and close your eyes, my friends, and see the yolk spilling out all yellow and runny.
All right, Stuart, you think it's a hit?
Oh,
and the next record. Can we have the next record? All right. What do you make of that one, please? Tony Blackburn and Peter Brough.
Now then, Tony, my boy. Did you like the record?
No, I didn't. I thought it was immoral and perverted.
Immoral and perverted? What kind of music do you like, Tony?
I like Gugugun.
John Peel. John Peel, you've been very quiet. Are you dead?
Well, you know, I just like to talk about the music, really.
What? That's the last time you come on this show.
No, hang on, my friend. That's a good idea. You know, I like the French horns and that last thing.
Why, some bits of conscience, did you think?
In 6-4 time.
But, well, that's all we got time for.
Shut up. You see these groups,
Stop. It's getting interesting. This is what the public wants. Start gabbling. Playoff.
And now it's rock and roll time.
Rock and roll, rhythm and blues revival show. Sounds of the over 70s.
Hey, hey! 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 Can't you play more than one note?
Of course we can.
original blues artists on original co-recordings of yesteryear. Every song tells a story. Every phrase reaches your heart. A language of its own, with every line packed with meaning.
Well, oh, no more, no more. Yeah, but you want, oh, no. Yeah, that's no better.
You better believe that.
Oh, my, no, 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 no.
Are you listening now?
And the devil, no, 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 no.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I give my money, mama. You know that? Money, money. I never did my money. Oh, and give my money, mommy. And I'm leaving. And I'm bombing the moon. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, yes, I did.
Hey, you know what I mean.
But the blues singer never despairs. He tries to cheer himself up with his music, even in the depths of misery and sickness.
Oh, I woke up one morning feeling so sick I thought I was dead.
Oh, yeah.
I felt sick in my stomach and I felt sick in my head.
Oh, yeah.
So I leaned over from my pillow and threw up all over the bed. I turned around to my wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I threw up all over her. I threw up on the dog, and I threw up on the baby's chair.
Oh, yeah.
Now 5 years I've been traveling, and I've thrown up everywhere. I've thrown up in California, thrown up in Timbuktu. Come on over here, baby, and I'll throw up over you.
I've thrown up over Jews. I've even thrown up on my blue suede shoes. I'm
throwing up. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, I got the sick man.
Makes you sick, don't it? Oh,
nowadays, science fiction is all the rage.
Oh, makes me cross.
And so tonight, we take you to the depths of outer space. Ye gods. Ladies and gentlemen, Prune Playhouse proudly presents Star Trek.
Space, man's final frontier. Our mission to seek out new galaxies and civilizations. To boldly go where no man has boldly gone before. To boldly a bit. Captain's log, stardate 7307. The starship Enterprise speeds on its lonely mission boldly, under the command of Captain James T. Kink.
Well, anyway, Hart, what is our position, Mr. Sulu?
Oh, very uncomfortable, Captain.
Oh!
Emergency, Captain Kink to the bridge immediately. Emergency.
Oh, never a dull moment.
Quite like Captain.
And so, Captain Kink.
Just a minute. Just a minute, is that all?
What?
Is that all I've got this week? Very uncomfortable and quite light, Captain. Is that it?
Yes.
Quite light, Captain.
And so Captain Kink... Quiet, please. And so Captain Kink sprang into the lift.
Nice one.
The lift took him swiftly up to the bridge.
Oh, lift full of ruddy musicians as usual.
Once on the bridge, the captain soon had things in hand.
Ooh. Oh, bliss, if you like that sort of thing. Now then, what's the trouble?
Captain Kink, our Scottish chief engineer, Scott, Scotty for short, from Scotland, has something terrible to tell you.
A ship's out of control, Captain. Water, sir. Hoots, mum. Och, aye. As we say, back home in Bonnie Kirk and Tiller.
Was terrible, wasn't it? You did say he was Scottish.
Oh, yes. You can tell by the way he rolls his R's.
It's not all you can tell.
Captain Kink, sir.
Yes.
Captain Kink, this is an emergency. The new.
Well, split me.
Red alert! Red alert!
Scotty, you take the lift down to the engine room.
But that's awful heavy, Captain.
With the Starship Enterprise completely out of control, things were bad.
Naughty things.
The captain leapt boldly to the controls and furiously started pushing buttons.
Get off!
Oh, buttons! If only I could go to...
And speaking of stars, that brings us back to the plot. The door opened and in came Mr. Sulu.
Oh, that's me again. Time two.
Sulu staggered across to Captain Kink.
Yes, yes.
Then suddenly and dramatically...
Yes, yes.
He collapsed without a sound. Kink knew there was only... Without a sound? Yes. Kink knew there was...
I'm sorry, this is disgraceful.
No, don't stop.
No, really, I think
John.
This is very shabby treatment. Good Lord, I mean, I give up my Sunday afternoon to come in here just for the sake of a lousy, quite light Clapton. I could have been at home mowing the kittens. No, I'm sorry.
Look, this is a jolly exciting story. If you're just going to spoil it by moaning, then you might as well go home.
Yes, but...
No, I've had enough, you see. I mean, just go on home. Here's your satchel. Go on. Come on.
All right, I will.
Good. Off you go. No. Off you go. Quick as you can.
Right, I'm off. Yes, I'm going home then.
Yes.
Right. Now.
Soon, I hope.
Well, I'm off.
Yes.
Right.
Just behave yourself.
Yes, David.
What was that?
Yes, sir.
Better. Right, get your milk, sit at the back. Now, yes, where were we? Yes, the ship was out of control and Captain Kink knew there was only one man who could boldly help. Yes, his science officer, Mr. Spock.
Mr. Spock, there you are, Poppet. Now, do tell, should we abandon the ship?
Illogical, Captain. Indeed, I fail to understand your attitude. As you can see, Captain, I am now raising one eyebrow to indicate my profound astonishment.
See him raise the incredible eyebrow.
And now, the other eyebrow.
He raises the other eyebrow. See him.
And now, both eyebrows together.
What a performer!
So I've heard. Anyway, Petal, what are we going to do?
Seems to me, Captain, that some enemy alien power has gained control
right
of the Starship Enterprise.
He's had two good parts already. We all know how he gets it. Oh, yeah. Not me, though. No, don't mind me. I don't count around here, old Muggins.
Sorry, just a minute.
Who's muttering? Thank you very much.
Come on, someone's muttering. Who was it? Who was muttering? I'll stay here until the culprit ends up. No, sorry, I mean it. Who's muttering? Bill, was it you?
Oh, no, sir.
It was John, sir.
You dirty little crawler! Oh, sir! John, this isn't the first time you've annoyed me today.
Sorry, sir, it's not fair, sir. I won't be...
What was that?
I want to be...
Speak up.
I want to be Mr. Spot. Please.
Well, look here. If I do let you be Mr. Spock, promise you'll behave and do it properly. Now, promise?
Promise, promise. Cross my heart and hope to die. Terrapin stick with me till I lie.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Now then, let's just get on with it. Mr. Spock made his usual cool appraisal of the situation.
We're all going to crash, boy. We're in a grip of an idiot.
What? No, 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 no. Wait a minute. No.
I don't know
no,
what
stop
to
it.
Do, boy.
Nothing, nothing like it. You can't be Mr. Spock anymore.
I'm just being vindictive.
Well, I like that. I like that. Do it again. Oh, I do like that. Mm.
Now can I be Mr. Spock?
No, no, you're not good enough.
You say I'm the best person in the world at everything.
Now, look, don't be silly. You just want to be Mr. Spock because he's the one with a big, long pointy...
That has nothing to do with it.
Well, anyway, I don't care anymore. Do it your own way.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, back on board Enterprise...
Captain! Captain Bach!
Yes, boyo!
We're heading straight for an unknown asteroid!
Never! An unknown asteroid! That's where the alien power's taking us, look you!
Panic!
Oh, let's have another leak!
Yes, subtle for you.
Every one of them in the grip of the nameless power, which had also affected their voices, making them all do a pathetic attempt at a Welsh accent.
Watch it!
Attention, landing on asteroid made at precisely 2:35 Earth time, 6 p.m. asteroid time.
Oh, well, if asteroid time, the pubs will be open.
Yeah.
Concentrate. The crew, whose voices had now returned to normal, repeat normal, came to their senses and picked themselves up.
Here, want to come back to my place? Yes, thank you very much. Love to.
Captain King?
Yes, young man.
I think this asteroid is really a meteorite. Look, it's made of best stewing steak.
Oh, yes, it's meteorite.
Yes!
Just stop wasting time. Now, let's get on with the plot.
Captain's log, stardate 7312. Well, you'd never credit, but we've had a bit of a bijou crashing landing it. So we'd better get the ship's doctor to look after the casualties. Bones?
Yes, sir!
That was terrible.
Oh, yes, I know where I was. Let's have the medical report. Dr. McCoy?
No serious injuries, Jim, but I don't like the look of Mr. Spock. But then I never did.
He said it again. You pig, you're at it again. That's three you've done so far. They're all rotten.
They're very good.
They're appalling. They all sound like Eddie Wearing.
They do not.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Do somebody else. James Mason. Let's hear you do James Mason.
All right. Jimmy. There you came. All right. James Mason.
James Mason.
Ah, Hawking's a robot. Like somebody out of the field rouge, and that's all you're getting.
All right, I'll accept James Mason, all right.
Now, may I continue? Kink and his crew explored the asteroid. Time went by.
Bye!
Looking up, they could see Mars.
Hey, Mar, I can see him.
They decided to camp for the night.
Of course they did.
Oh, dear. Captain Kink kept the first watch. He gave the second one to his best friend, Jerome, as a present.
That's what I call quick-fire humor.
Quick, you're all fired.
Yeah, suddenly.
Ah!
Grief, what was that?
Captain, look over there. Coming towards us.
Oh, no.
It's one of those, is it?
Yes, for coming towards them through the gloom was a hideous monster.
Do not be alarmed. I believe this creature to be merely an illusion, a figment of our imaginations.
Bravely, Spock stood his ground as the creature approached. Closer and closer it came, towering above him, and then...
Oh.
Serve him right, pompous twit.
All at once, the captain started.
Oh, that's better.
He seemed to hear a voice coming from the monster.
Do not be afraid, Captain Kink. I wish to be friendly.
Well, I keep myself to myself, you know, don't I, Jerome?
The inhabitants of this asteroid, wish only to be left in peace. Do not desecrate our paradise.
I understand. We are from the planet Earth. Our nation, the United States of America.
We have a duty towards strange peoples such as yours. We are the hand of America, reaching out to alien civilizations in the time-honored tradition of our heritage, in our own inimitable fashion.
when all signs of life had been wiped from the face of the asteroid, the captain prepared to take off, tired but very happy. Suddenly again, the ground began to heave.
Oh, I'm not well.
Oh. it's alive. The asteroid is alive.
Oh, whatever next.
Wait. I recognize this place, this vast sphere. Those two incredibly huge mountain peaks.
Oh, Flatterer.
The entire asteroid was in fact Lady Constance, having a sunbathing holiday in orbit round Orion.
Which Orion?
Oh, any Orion. Oh, I don't ask you the boring bits, you know.
Oh, yes, you do. Oh, what bliss, an entire starship crew marooned on my person.
Quick, we've got to run for it.
No, you needn't do anything for it.
Captain, there's only one thing we can do.
Slow on the uptake, but nonetheless welcome to that.
We must have radio staff in command for reinforcements.
Captain Kink flipped open his communicator.
Oh, don't think I wouldn't. Anyway, calling HQ, six of us are marooned on an interplanetary. Lady Constance, send help.
And sure enough, before long, up in the sky, coming towards them, they sighted the fleet that would even the odds.
Oh, no! It's five more Lady Constances!
One each! Oh!
Here we are!
You have been listening to The Angus Prune Show with Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bilotti. The script was written by Graham Garden and Bilotti, who also wrote the song. The music was played by Dave Lee and the boys, and the arrangements were made by Leon Cohen. The programme was produced by Bob Oliver Rogers and David Hatch, who both came down to earth with a bump on hearing these words.
Yes, I'm sorry, I read that again once more. When it began, I was listening to